morning we're continuing in the preaching series that we started quite some time ago in 1 Timothy, and we're considering particularly at the moment those qualifications, characteristics of an elder. And we're looking this morning at just one word, one word in a context. It's that word hospitable. An overseer must be above reproach, hospitable. A beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, what does hospitable mean? What does the word hospitable mean? It's certainly demonstrated in practical ways. You may involve a welcome at church, a guest bed for a visitor, a cup of coffee, a meal at home. Fellowship and food are often part of hospitality. We read of that in Genesis 18 when Abraham welcomes into his home these guests and hurries to show them hospitality. He serves them with the finest of food. They were two angels and one Lord. The pre-incarnate Christ was present, we understand. And that event is referenced in Hebrews chapter 13. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. The Greek word there, entertain strangers, is the same word that we find in our text, that word hospitality or hospital. It's the word philoxenos in Greek. Philoxenos comes from two parts, and they're very easy to understand. Philo is the Greek word that means love. Philosophy is the love of wisdom. Philharmonic is the love of music. Philadelphia is the love of brothers. Xenos means stranger. And so xenophobia is a fear of strangers. Zoologically, xenobiosis is where you have two different colonies of different species who live together. Hospitality then, philoxenos, is love for strangers. Love for strangers. So perhaps in Ephesus, where Pastor Timothy was, it was just the elders there who were to be active above reproach in loving strangers. But no, that can't be right, because we read in Titus chapter 1 that in Crete also the elders there were to have the same qualification or characteristic. They were to be above reproach. They were to be hospitable. And then as we start reading through the scriptures, we realize that it doesn't stop with the elders. All Christians in all places are to be hospitable. One example would be Romans 12, verses 10 and 13. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Practice hospitality. Practice philoxenia. Practice loving strangers. And so, congregation, brothers and sisters in the Lord, all of us are to be hospitable without exception. We must all have a strange love, that is to say, a love for strangers. A love for people that we do not know yet. This sermon this morning, I believe, is vital. It's vital because loving strangers is essential for the upbuilding of God's church. We have a concept for a building on Cornwall Street, and we need that if we're to progress. We have a proposal before us now as a congregation to progress the design to a detailed design for the building that we hope to physically erect on Cornwall Street. I put it to you this morning that it is at least as important for us as a church to love strangers if we are to rebuild the church on Cornwall Street. That's how important I believe this sermon is to us all. Three headings. To love strangers, you need Christ. To love strangers, you need the Holy Spirit. And to love strangers, you need to die. Let's consider the first point. Before we do that, it's to love strangers, you need Christ. Let me ask you the question, do you know any strangers? It's a stupid question. Because if you know them, they're not a stranger, right? Are you a stranger? Everybody is a stranger. We are either strangers to God, Ephesians 2:12, remember that what you were at that time, separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise. People who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ are strangers to God. Or you are a stranger to this world. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, strangers, outcasts. Hebrews 11 talks of the heroes of faith, those who died without receiving the promises, but confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. You are either a stranger to Christ or a stranger to the world. The child of God, the believer, is a person who has been changed. No longer a friend of the world and a stranger to God, but a friend of God and a stranger to the world. That's the gospel. When we were first loved by God, we were strangers to Him. So God's love, you see, is a strange love. He sets His love upon those who have estranged themselves from Him through their rebellion, through their sin. But God demonstrates His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet strangers, He loved us and Christ died for us. So can you see this morning that hospitality has been shown to us in Christ, the love of a stranger. We are amongst this morning those who have been ransomed by the blood of Christ, those from every tribe, tongue, and nation. We're amongst those who have been invited to the upcoming wedding supper of the Lamb, represented for us this morning, foreshadowed in the Lord's Supper table. If God extends His love to a stranger like you or me, brother or sister, undeserving of God's grace, should we not likewise extend love to those who are strangers to us? I doubt if there is anybody in the congregation this morning who is disagreeing with that statement theologically. But practically, it can be a bit of a different story. I know that because I read this in the scriptures. It's in 1 Peter 4, 8 and 9. Peter is writing to the church scattered and he's saying, keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another, he says, without grumbling. Obviously, back in the day, in the first century, people grumbled about being hospitable. They complained about being obedient. And that complaint would have indicated an underlying heart attitude towards loving strangers. I don't know what the people in that day, what their grumbling was about, but here are some possibilities. I'm too shy. I'm too embarrassed to extend hospitality and love strangers. Which is really saying, I'm too proud. I'm too much alive to myself and not enough alive to Christ. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want them in my house or in my life. People might have been thinking that. Broken and strained relationships, brothers and sisters in Christ, should not, must not exist in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part of our preparation for Lord's Supper that we go to the brother or sister whom we believe maybe we've sinned against. We reconcile with them and then come and present our offering. Matthew 5, 23 to 24. And then back in the first century, maybe people said things like this, well, I just don't do hospitality. It's just not my kind of thing. And yet the Lord has given to us in His Word clear commands. Romans 12, 13, practice hospitality. Hebrews 13, 2, do not forget to entertain strangers. Now, the possibility of complaining might be, I don't actually want to get to know people that well. I don't want people to see how messy my life is. I don't want to see how messy their life is either. So I'm not going to have too much to do with strangers. And we are called to have everything to do with one another, to love one another, to be devoted to one another, to serve one another, to bear one another's burdens. We are to be involved in one another's lives. You know, in congregations like this, it is possible to have been in the congregation for years and years and years and years and yet not really know other people. Never get past the superficial. Never get past the point when you actually get to know someone. And so we can be strangers to one another, even in a small congregation like this. It's so encouraging to hear of the work of the Lord in the lives of others. So encouraging. So encouraging when you break through the superficial into the deeply spiritual and you hear of how someone's been struggling, how someone's received help from the Lord. How you acknowledge the Lord's grace towards you. This is the kind of fellowship, koinonia, that the Lord speaks of in his word. This is the kind of binding that the body of Christ is to have out of love for her Savior. Let me ask us all a very direct question. Do you find it difficult to love strangers? I don't think it's difficult. I don't think it's hard. I think it's impossible, really, to love a stranger apart from Christ. See, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So I could stand in a pulpit like this and say, you've just got to go out there and love strangers. You go, what? But in Christ, the impossible becomes possible, because in Christ we receive the strength and the desire to do that which is humanly impossible, to really love someone we don't know. And so Christ enables us to conquer that pride and that selfishness and to fill us with a love for the brethren, those within the church that are strangers to us, and the brethren, the sheep that are yet out there, that are yet straying, that are yet to be found, and to love them. That's the gospel. Until we realize how deeply the Lord Jesus Christ has loved us, as strangers, until we realize in our hearts how deeply and deeply he's loved us, we will not be able to love strangers as we ought. As you come to the table this morning, or as you witness the Lord's Supper table, I encourage you to think about this. Think about the hospitality that has been shown to you and I in the love of Christ. Think of how you were once a stranger to the gospel of grace, a stranger to mercy and a stranger to love. And yet God extended his love to you and entertained you and drew you to himself, a strange love. Should we not likewise have this kind of love for one another and for our neighbors? To love strangers, you need Christ. Secondly, to love strangers, you need the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that all qualified elders are to be hospitable. That's part of being above reproach. Perhaps you're sitting thinking, well, maybe this hospitality is just a spiritual gift that the elders have got to have, and maybe some other people in the congregation, but not everybody. I've already indicated there are a number of texts in the Scripture that are universal. Practice hospitality, Romans 12:13. Do not forget to entertain strangers. It's certainly true that some of us find hospitality easier than others, the practical aspects of hospitality. I put it to you this morning that it's necessary for all of us to grow and further develop in this Christian discipline. This is how it works. If you start walking long distances, the muscles in your legs will get stronger and the soles of your feet will get thicker. That's the way God's designed us. I've got a friend in the ministry who is an avid reader, and I've always admired him. And he told me one day, and I'm going to quote what he said to me. He said, I made it through secondary school and I'd never read a book. It was when I was 20 when the Lord worked in my heart, drawing me closer to him, that I also began reading. It was slow and hard going at first, but I knew I had so much I needed to learn. The more I read, the more hungry I got. It's never really stopped. And he's a phenomenal reader. And he described to me his development of reading as being like working an atrophied muscle. it started to grow as he used it. So it was about 20 years ago that my wife Jenny and I first became convicted of the biblical need to extend practical love to strangers. That is, to invite strangers into our home, to feed strangers. It was completely new territory for us. Neither of us had grown up in families where that was the practice. But we believed that we needed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. And so pursuing hospitality, practicing hospitality requires growth for us all. It doesn't come naturally to love strangers. So I'm going to look very briefly this morning at some practical examples of what it means to be hospitable, because this is a practical topic. Firstly, learn how to open a conversation with someone you don't know. What do you do? Where do you come from? How did you come to know the Lord? Have you read any good books lately? Try and find some topic that you can have a conversation on. It takes time to learn to do that. Learn to share your struggles and your joys and your life with other people. Be open. Don't fear. Hospitality involves social interaction, but it's more. It's opening yourself up so that people can see who you really are. It takes courage that comes from knowing the Lord. Learn how to cope with those you're uncomfortable or unfamiliar with. So start small. Talk to a single person. Maybe invite someone you don't know out for a coffee at one of the many coffee shops here in Christchurch. Go for a picnic in the park in the summer. It seems in the scriptures that practicing hospitality was very much surrounded in the home, but not exclusively. And so let's just consider very briefly hospitality in the home. Hospitality is loving strangers. It's not showing somebody how flash your house is, or how much you earn, or how well you can cook. If you want to see my house, give me 45 minutes to prepare. If you want to see me, come on right over. A tidy house, here we go. A tidy house may be less distracting and more welcoming, but it's not essential. People are not being invited to see your house. They're coming to have your love extended to them. Few more practicals. Learn how to double the food recipe until you can feed more. This is spoken by somebody who's seldom in the kitchen. Have extra food in the fridge and freezer. A food and drink just help people to get to know one another. It's just the way Lord's made us. We've got to eat how many times a day. And it seems in the scripture very clear that fellowship was so often around a meal. That's what we're celebrating this morning. Fellowship around a table. And it doesn't matter if people go home a little hungry. You're not there so much to feed them as to love them. We are to grow up into all aspects of Him who is the head, even Christ. As a body, as a church, we are to grow up. And that requires grace. That requires the Word and the Spirit. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You may never have heard this message before and thought about this before. This is God's word to us, that we are all to be hospitable. And the Spirit is the one who makes it possible in our lives. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all truth. The Spirit of God will guide you and say, it's not just that pastor standing out the front who's saying this stuff. It's God. It's His word. And the Spirit confirms that. So please do not go home guilty this morning and think, oh, I haven't been doing enough. I haven't been cooking enough. I haven't had enough people around in my house. I haven't been friendly enough to strangers. Please go home with a greater understanding of what the gospel is, that it is a gospel of love for strangers. In our worship, we're encouraged to present our bodies as living sacrifices acceptable to God. This is part of that spiritual worship into which we're to be engaged. That's our third point coming up. The third point is a little bit scary. It goes like this: to love strangers, you need to die. Many of the men here went to the men's conference this past week and heard some excellent addresses by David Cook, and I recall one illustration he gave. You'll remember it if you were there. He spoke about these missionaries to Fiji, and they were going to this island. And they were on the boat, and they were about to step off on the shore. And someone said to him, don't go onto that island. There are cannibals there and you'll be eaten within a day. And the missionary said, it's not a problem. We already died. What do they mean? They meant what Jesus speaks about in John chapter 12. Whoever loves his life will lose it, and whoever hates his life will keep it for eternal life. This is not a call to end physical life, to destroy the image of God in man or woman, but it's a call to sacrifice, to die to oneself. It's a death that we remember today at Lord's Supper table. A death that Jesus died, and I'm quoting from 2 Corinthians 5:14, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves. Jesus died so that we might no longer live for us, for me, but for others. He died so that my life is no longer mine. And so it is faithful Christian service always, always, always requires sacrifice. And hospitality is no exception. So I'm just going to very briefly go through some of the sacrifices that are often involved. A sacrifice of time. Many of us are tired on the Lord's Day afternoon after a week of work. Having strangers around our home or even hanging around after church to talk to somebody we don't know, it's extra time and effort. If we're going to have a meal at our house, then we need to take time to purchase the food, tidy up the house if possible, prepare it the night before. We need to make sure we get to bed early on the Saturday so that we've got the energy to entertain strangers on the Sunday. The time that we spend with those we don't know in the congregation or those who visit is time that we might be spending with our family, but we need at times to sacrifice that. Please remember that socializing with those that we know within the congregation or our families is not hospitality. Hanging out with your mates is not loving strangers. So we need a balance in this, a balance for those that have fellowship with those we know and those we don't. We need to sacrifice time. We need to sacrifice money. Have you noticed that food is not cheap and costs are rising? John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, was extraordinary in the practice of hospitality. He regularly had 25 people at his home for his meals. And the curate of Olney, who lived close by, as curate of Olney, which was a place where Newton pastored, he was partly sponsored by a Christian merchant, a wealthy man, who supplemented the pastor's stipend by up to £200 a year, quote, for hospitality and to help the poor. And he soon became known for his pastoral care to John Newton because he had so many people into his home. I would say confidently, if you start having 25 people around to your house every Sunday, that somebody else in the congregation or someone else in God's kingdom will chip in to provide and help. We need to trust the Lord in this. Food doesn't grow on trees, but it isn't free. Well, food does grow on trees, but it isn't free. We need to make our needs known as well. Sacrifice of time, sacrifice of money, sacrifice of privacy. Home is the castle. It's the private domain. It's the place that we are most ourselves. In fact, C.S. Lewis has said this, surely what a man does when he's taken off guard is the best evidence of what sort of man he is. When you see someone in their home, you tend to see more what they're really like when our guard is down. And so we have to sacrifice the privacy of our homes to invite people in. That's not always comfortable, but it's what the Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense, has done for us. Sacrifice of privacy, sacrifice of comfort. It's easy to have people round for fellowship when they're people you like or people you know or people who think the same way as you or their family. It's relaxing. It's enjoyable. But strangers, someone you don't know, you invite them round. Are they going to be difficult to talk to? Is it going to be hard to get a conversation going? Are they going to have a lot of children? Are they going to make a mess? Are they going to start disagreeing with you on things? Hospitality is a sacrifice of comfort at times, but often it's a source of blessing. In hospitality, we're to give the very best, as the Lord Jesus Christ has done. It applies to food, sanctified conversation, comfortable seats. So you see, to love strangers, you need to die. I need to die to myself, to my own preferences, for my own time, my own comfort, my own money. Isn't that the kind of hospitality that Christ has extended to us? Hasn't he given us the very best? Jesus was there, John 12, raised his friend Lazarus from the dead, and he said those words that we heard at the men's conference, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains only a single grain, but if it dies, it yields a rich harvest." Every time you and I sacrifice ourselves to love a stranger, whether that stranger be someone here within our own congregation or outside in the world, we die a little bit more to self. And the kingdom of God in some way is assisted in our labor in the Lord. What harvest could the Lord bring through our obedience to these principles and commands as we seek to return to Cornwall Street? Wow, that's a thought. How will Christ use my and your progressive death to yourself to build his church? How is he doing that now in the Reformed Church of Christ Church? Loving strangers, being hospitable, is a practical work of obedience and thankfulness to the Lord. It is a work for us all to be engaged in. Loving strangers, being hospitable, is one aspect of being above reproach and a necessary qualification for any man who would serve as an elder in the church. And finally, the church itself, we, the church, would not exist were it not for the great hospitality of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life as a ransom for many. Amen.